No, the really good ones, the good guy would shoot the bad guy's like gun out of his hand.
But that's swag points back then.
That's impossible.
I don't know. I got pretty accurate with this game this week.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Hi, I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 204. What video game have you most recently beaten? Simple question.
Link's Awakening Remake on Switch.
Surprise! In fact, you beat it this morning,
right? A couple
hours
ago, yeah.
you're streaming it. I watched it. Really good run, except for one thing that completely destroyed it.
F's in chat. Yeah, I've been speedrunning Link's Awakening, so I've beaten that game several times recently.
Hey, you haven't been doing that on the NGP Twitch. You've been doing that on a personal one. Yes. Are you at a place where you would shout that out for people to watch?
Oh, I'll shout it out. I'll shout it out in self-promo. It feels gross to me to be like, hey, everyone, in a different thing that I do, go watch my personal, you know, it's unrelated. But yeah, I'd put it in self-promo in Discord.
I mean, it's somewhat unrelated. We played that game on our podcast, not the remaster, but not even the original, but the Game Boy Color re-release or whatever just a couple weeks back. So it's definitely pertinent
Bill stopped by. A couple people from the Discord stopped by. So yeah, maybe I will.
Yeah. I just beat yesterday Final Fantasy I Origins for the
Congratulations.
First time.
That's super Thank fun.
You. It's called Origins?
So the PlayStation re-release is Final Fantasy Origins, and it comes with Final Fantasy 1 and 2. So nice. I'm going to do 2 next.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, but it's a really solid remaster, the first one. It's the first time that I played that one, the PlayStation version. Mm-hmm. And so enhanced graphics, remixed soundtrack, which both of those are fun, but I can do without. I find charm in the original. But the thing that I thought was absolutely necessary here was the streamlined gameplay that they added
in. Yes.
Yeah, they just kill the grind.
Yeah, they did. Kenny, I don't know if you recall, there is a... Elfheim, it's a town there, and they've got a graveyard, and one of the gravestones used to say Eldric on it from your games, but in the remaster it says Link, rest in peace.
oh, it does.
I don't like it.
It does, yeah.
Wow, the crossover.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. I'll be playing Final Fantasy II Origins next. Kenny, what about you? Have you played or beaten a game in the last year-ish?
I don't beat video games.
You don't, do you? You play different kinds.
I tried to beat this week's video game, but had a really hard time doing it.
You're still going?
Yeah.
It's currently
playing. But I can't find the end, guys.
But think about it. Like, what's the last adventure game or RPG that you
beat? It might have been 10 years ago, but think about it.
No. I'm trying to think of like gamey kind of games. I'm sure I've
what completed. Does that mean?
I'm sure I've completed a like game Venison? Of Civilization VI somewhat recently, but I feel like that's the only thing I ever talk about, and I sound boring, and I don't want to bring that up. Whatever.
Okay, this is what I want you to do, Kenny. I want you to quickly pick a game that you're going to play next, and it doesn't have to be next week. It doesn't have to be tomorrow, but you are committing to this all the way through. What game are you going to be playing next? We don't have a lot of time, so you got to be fast. Quick draw.
The remake of Final Fantasy VII when it comes out.
Okay. All right.
Actually,
and you're going to stream it?
Actually,
that's
I'm
going
to take it right up to the end and then quit.
No, oh, you gosh. Will not.
I will... you will not. I won't do a podcast with you anymore. So either you can do this or I can do this if you do that to me. Thank you for that quick draw. I'm not feeling well. So it's like in our retro game of the week where you do a lot of quick draws. Wild Gunman. Nice. Here we go.
Overview.
Wild Gunman came out first for the Famicom in 1984 and then for the Nintendo Entertainment System in 1985. And it is a game unlike any that we've ever played before. Of course, we played mid-80 NES titles. But this is the first video game that we're playing as a part of our podcast that features the NES Zapper. Also known as the light gun. Did you guys own one of those?
Yes. Of course I did.
Okay.
I
did. There were two different versions for, at least for America, I believe. There was the completely gray version, and then there was the gray and orange version. That's the one that I owned.
I had the gray and orange because it was so dope. I didn't choose it, but I ended up with that one because my cousin had it.
At different points, I owned different ones, but I did have the OG gray one.
Okay. Yeah. So it, for those of you that don't know, we've got to do a little bit of a history lesson here because it's very important to the overview and background of this game.
Sure.
The NES Zapper or the light gun was also getting its release during this time as well, 84 and 85 respectively. It was an electronic light gun accessory. In Japan, when it first came out, it actually looked like a revolver, like an actual, not like a laser gun, but like a revolver.
Like a black pistol.
Yeah.
Looked real.
Which, very dangerous for kids to be taken out and playing with. But
not in Japan.
That's fine there, but not here. They had to change it for us. So for us, they created this futuristic laser gun. And again, it's either in all gray or they even didn't want to have it in all gray because they thought that looked too much like a real gun. So they put on this bright neon orange on it and made it look absolutely amazing, especially for a kid.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was actually a law that passed about toy guns in general, like late mid-80s, that said you cannot look too much like a realistic gun. All the like orange-tipped guns that you see now, I'm pretty sure it was that same law, though I'm not certain.
Oh, but right, the little toy guns.
Yeah, that's why they went back and remade it in like super bright orange.
I mean, we probably shouldn't really have toy guns at all, in my opinion. That was probably a good law. But the orange did make it look cooler.
At least this gun was very toy-ish. The light gun, you don't cock back a trigger. You don't load up any ammunition. It's less dangerous than a Nerf gun. And it's got a trigger on it, that's all, and then the cord that is plugged into your console. But when you pull the trigger, a signal is sent to your NES, and the screen flashes, it goes black, except for one white square. And if the lens in the barrel of your gun senses that square, that white square, that light, then you aimed correctly. If it doesn't sense that, then you didn't aim correctly. And so based on whatever game you're playing, Duck Hunt is one of the most notorious light gun shooter games, maybe even the most. You would recognize that if it doesn't sense that square, and you can't really see it, it's kind of like frame by frame.
It's super fast.
If you miss, the duck flies away and the dog laughs at you and you hate yourself. But if it does recognize that light, then the duck dies. And so that's why it really is a good tactic to get as close to the screen as possible. Put your gun barrel up against the screen where you're aiming. Because,
you know, I did that.
Yeah, less reaction time. We all did that.
Yeah. And then I got in trouble for it. You know what? I had a realization this week. That was the early, like, thought behind the Wii.
The Wii.
You're interacting with the television in the 80s with a peripheral. That's like next level stuff. I can't imagine what it was like to be 7, you know, when this came out. Like, Kenny, can you tell me about that?
Wii owes a lot to Nintendo for sure.
I mean, that's funny.
That actually is really funny. Here's the thing that I think is so cool, because not only is that a novel mechanic, I mean, like, light guns in general had sort of already existed, I think, but
arcades, right?
Right, yeah. Like, making it work with the screen, but then also making it work for more than one item on the screen by just changing the like length of time that the flash happens for each thing, and all of that happening so fast that your eye doesn't really see it outside of a general kind of like flash, which feels right anyways because you're shooting a gun. And the fact that they could differentiate what target you were shooting at and somewhat fairly realistically see if you were pointing at something or not felt like magic then and still feels like magic to me today. It really was a really cool peripheral.
Well, and to give children like a tactile way to interact with a video game is key. I mean, of course, you've got a controller, and so that is tactile. But to add on this secondary item and it being a laser gun, like, that's just brilliant marketing. Sure. And brilliant for brilliant. That's exactly what children would like. And you said that light guns had existed before this, and they might have. I'm not familiar with that. What I do know is that in the arcades, they had electromechanical arcade games that it wasn't based on the same kind of light functionality, but more of like it's mechanical. So it knows if you've pulled the trigger and if you do it in a certain amount of time. And so even this game, Wild Gunman, it existed before it came out on the Famicom and the NES. In 1974, it was in the arcade, and it was an electromechanical game where you duel with live action cowboys, not on a screen, but on film. And if you, and when the, it's the same kind of concept, when the cowboy's eyes flash, if you pull the trigger within a certain amount of time, then the next film section plays where the cowboy falls down. If not, then it plays a different section where the cowboy shoots at you.
Yeah, so my understanding is this was the actual first like full motion video game, because it was video captured of actors and then some just like quick time interaction based on when things were happening in the movie and your input. And I fell into a little bit of a hole this week, partly because our game was relatively short, and so I felt like I had time. But I was also just interested in reading about that 1974 arcade version of this, and it's super rare. Like, the complexity of the system means that these don't really exist out there very much. There's not even that much footage of this game being played. And what is out there is super fascinating and super fun. And if you're interested in where Wild Gunman came from and like the history of arcades at all, you should look into the original arcade system. It's really neat.
It really is fascinating to kind of like fall into that hole of all of that. I did that this week too, watched multiple videos, read a lot of articles. It's really cool. Nolan, I don't even know if you know, but the creator of this original Wild Gunman back in 1974 was, I'm going to mispronounce his name, but Gunpei Yokoi, which is the creator of Game Boy. Like, he first created Game Boy.
Yeah, I found that out this week, and I also found out the development team that worked with Nintendo for this is Intelligent Systems, aka Fire Emblem.
Yeah,
like, so that's their thing. So this had like crazy talent behind it, and I was so surprised and pleasantly surprised to see that.
For the game, just so you know, it's all about reaction time with these gun games. With such an awesome with such an awesome item that you can use for this game, the 18 or so games that were released to be used with this light gun accessory are going to be somewhat limited, because there's not tons and tons that you can do with that. And so you get that here. It's all about reaction time. You have three different modes, which we can talk about shortly, in which basically you are being challenged to a quick draw, hence the really good segue, and you're facing off against cowboys or Wild West banditos in a fast draw competition.
Gameplay.
So, three modes. Let's talk about the first one. It's called Game A, I think. It's a very nice title.
The second one's B, and then you can probably guess the third one.
Yeah, it's the third one. That's what it's called. Now, Game A. So, this is kind of the entry-level standard mode, the one that was probably, well, they might have advertised all of them, but like this is one you start with. So it's called Game A, One Outlaw. So it's you versus one outlaw. And this is probably how you'll learn the game, where you are looking at the desert. So you've got a cactus and this
I think there's two cactuses.
Two cactuses, little mountain range thing, and then you see an outlaw walk onto the screen slowly. And if you've seen Westerns, then you know what's coming next. It's a shootout. So you're waiting. And I didn't wait for some reason. I was like, okay, let me just click around. You have to wait on the game to say fire. And when the game says fire, then you've got to shoot, and you've got to shoot first. So that's
yeah. Can we have a little confession time? Because I never understood the mechanics of how dueling works and how it's fair.
Like real life mechanics?
No one actually says fire. Like, if you're actually taking 10 steps and then turning, but who's not going to just take 9 steps and then turn around and shoot? I guess really it's a distance and accuracy thing, but like, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
There was rules back then.
It's also about chivalry. Like, this is not just like, I want to kill someone. In fact, two guys that respect each other are going to go face to face. And I don't know if back when this was actually happening, did this actually happen? Who knows? But I don't know if it was as much to like murder someone. It was more so to like prove who's right or who's man enough or whatever. And I think due to accuracy and everything, I don't know if you're always killing someone in a duel.
What, I wait until they twitch and then I'm so much faster than them, it doesn't matter? That's not fair. Why can't I be the one that twitches? Why do I have to wait for their eyes to glint?
Let me explain to you, Kenny.
Why can't my eyes be the ones that glint?
No, shut up. Continue confession time.
Continuing confession time. I am a big fan of Westerns, okay? I really love all Clint Eastwood's movies. So I know that Dustin's correct. This was a tradition thing, and it was more about the rules and respect. If you hated the guy you were about to do it with, you did not cheat. And if you did, like, someone else is going to shoot you for cheating.
Well, sure, that's fair. But even then, what?
And it's not always meant to kill, but in the movies they do, because it's more dramatic to shoot someone's face.
No, the really good ones, the good guy would shoot the bad guy's like gun out of his hand.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's swag impossible. Back then.
I don't know. I got pretty accurate with this game this week.
In this game, you shoot their pants off.
Yeah.
So,
literally.
Which one's better? So, yeah, not only does the game say fire, but you see a text box that says fire. You hear an audio, like verbal.
I've got you on that.
Recording of someone saying fire. I mean, it's pretty distorted, but it's pretty good. And then the cowboy or bandito, whatever, his eyes also flash. And so,
like an anime.
and so then you know to fire. And again, it's all about reaction time. So your HUD, what you're seeing on your screen, the majority of it is what we already described. It's the image of the desert and your opponent walking out. But above, you've got the gunman and his time. So you see his draw time already. And you see if it's like 1 second and 30 tenths of a second, or sometimes it's like even 50 tenths of a second or something like that. So you know how quick you have to be. At the bottom, you see your score, how many times you've won, how many lives you have, and the reward money that you're getting, which is just points. And then you see at the top near the gunman's time, you see what your time is. And so as soon as you fire, it tells you how quickly you fired. And if you do it quickly enough after your opponent screams fire, then they either fall over dead, their hat falls off, their pants fall down, something happens so that you know that you won. If you don't do it in enough time, they fire on you and this awesome funeral march dirge plays, and then you get to try again.
I love all of that, yeah.
I hate to be that guy, but I know some of our listeners are. It certainly isn't 30 tenths of a second.
I think it's just you.
No, like that would not work. But yeah, it shows your reaction time, and it's it's quick.
No, yes, it is. What are you talking about? Absolutely.
No, 30 tenths would be, you're thinking like hundredths. Like, it shows it to two digits, but it would be 3 tenths of a second.
Oh,
otherwise, it would be 3 seconds.
Okay, yeah.
We knew that.
But I don't know if anyone else listening would care about that. I think it's more
you underestimate how nerdy an audience of retro gamers are. I guarantee you someone was pulling out their ears.
At least he didn't say what I did in my first play. I said minute and a half, which I
did seconds. I got plenty of time.
That's weird. I admit seconds.
You got time to spin the gun, the swollen eye, to polish it, aim.
What if that was an actual Wild West duel, like pistol duel? You walk, turn around, and the other guy's taking a minute and a half to turn slowly around. Yeah.
You both clean your gun, fill your own ammo.
So that is mode A, and you only have 5 opponents is the thing. This is kind of where a little bit of it is somewhat frustrating, in that you only have five opponents, and so they just recycle. There's no end. You keep going until you've lost all your lives, and they have varying reaction times. Some are faster than others, but it's not like it gets increasingly difficult the longer it goes on.
Not really. Kind of caps out.
There is that one tier that I at least found was a little bit difficult, maybe because I just wasn't trying hard, but the fastest time, that 0.4 second reaction time guy, I didn't consistently beat him. Like,
my average
sometimes
was 0.3 something. Like, I was good.
Yeah, my average was under 0.4 as well, I think. But, like, I didn't – he's the one that I would lose to when he came up occasionally. And sure. He scared me when he walked out. Nobody else scared me. But when I saw that 0.4, I was like, oh, man.
So, mode B, game B, it's called Two Outlaws, and you can probably guess that's going to be two of them that walk onto the screen instead of one. And for me, that's when I was like, okay, now this can get interesting, and it definitely ramps up in difficulty.
Yeah. You're looking at the same kind of screen as you were in mode A, except this time you've got two different gunmen with two different speeds, and sometimes one of them might not even draw on you, so you can't shoot them.
That was tricky, and also I always assumed the faster outlaw, like point, like second wise at the top, was going to fire first. But sometimes it's not that. You have to obey who says fire first, and then shoot them first.
Yeah, you got to wait for those eyes, and that one actually gets a little tricky.
Yeah, it does.
And you may have to shoot them both, or you may have to just shoot one of them. Like, they can both have their eyes light up. You don't know which one's going to happen first. And their speeds are relative, but also mixed up. And it's a little bit tough to keep track of.
Yeah, so if mode A is not much of a game, but is more of just like an introductory course on how to use the zapper and play the game, then mode B is this one's really where the challenge ramps up. Because it's not like it gets increasingly difficult again, but any single face-off can be deadly because of how many variables are in there. And so it actually does make it a game.
You know what's cool about that? I was thinking this week that people that grew up with this game, or games like it, that are, you know, you have to calculate, so to speak, so many different variables that come into play and react on them. I think it taught them like how to play video games in a way. Like, my reaction times are pretty good in life, like driving. I have got pretty solid reaction times, and I almost want to attribute that to growing up being addicted to video games. And I don't know, I had trouble with some of those double outlaws. So I think that people that grew up with this in the 80s probably were pretty godly gamers in the 90s.
Yeah, Dustin, you said something. You said that, like, even the two people thing, the difficulty didn't go up that high. But I don't know. I feel like that's not the case at all. This game's really difficult. In fact, I'm pretty certain that nobody's ever actually beaten this game.
Okay, first of all, I don't know if you're being facetious or not. I don't think that I said that the difficulty doesn't go up. What I'm trying to communicate is that it's not incremental. It's not like it starts easy and gets more difficult. I think that it's all over the place. Secondly, again, I don't know if you're being silly or not. Can't beat this game. Okay, right. Well, you're not. You're not, is the fact. But
we hadn't talked about the fact that mechanic is how it is, and I think it was worth pointing out.
So you're just going to keep throwing it out until we take a seat?
Yeah, I'm giving you softballs here so that you can talk about something interesting on this game.
It's a high score game. It's similar to arcades in that sense. You cannot beat it, but you rub it in your friend's face that you got a high score.
Yeah, and the game tracks. And so, like, on the start screen where you're choosing your modes, it's got the high score down there, the console's high score down there. That's what you're fighting for. It's reminiscent of an arcade game or an early NES game where you're just going for the points. You can have your win streak up to 100 and nothing really changes. It just Yeah, it continually just randomly
no
puts
DLC
someone before
characters
you.
Unlock?
No, you can't pay extra for no new, for five new characters.
Game C is my favorite game, personally.
The Saloon Showdown.
It's a Saloon Showdown, and it's very arcade. There are other games like this where you are looking at a saloon, you have a door and four or five windows, and you're waiting for outlaws to peek out of the window, and you have to shoot them before they shoot you. And so it's like it's more like a involved. There's no breaks like there are in the other two modes. It's like you're always waiting and ready. And to me, kind of felt like a mini game in that sense. Like it wasn't the true game. I think maybe mode two is probably the true game. Whereas mode C is like, I want to practice or just kind of chill and enjoy this game. And I absolutely love that mode.
It's digital whack-a-mole is what it is.
With the zapper, with the NES zapper.
Right, yeah.
One of the unique things about this mode is that you have limited ammunition. Did you guys notice that down at the bottom?
Mm-hmm. I did, but late. Like, yes. I was just shooting.
So you can't just wildly shoot, and the enemies come in waves. So again, you can complete each wave, and it doesn't necessarily incrementally increase in difficulty, but you've got various enemies coming out of the different windows. Games like these, the ones that I find more challenging is when sometimes it's like a barmaid that's in a window, so
yes,
you don't shoot.
The innocence.
Yeah, so you don't shoot, but in this one, it's easier because anyone that pops up in a window, you just blast their head off.
Yeah, there was another early NES game that played more on that mechanic, that it was shooting people, but you had to identify who was the good guy, who was the bad guy.
Hogan's Alley or something like that?
Yeah, and I wish that that had been combined here. It would have made it even more complex and wouldn't have been that hard to do, I don't think.
Well, there was also an arcade game. I don't know if it wasn't called Cops, but it was like a police academy one where you're like in training or something, and cardboard cutouts were popping up, and I sucked at that game because I would always shoot the like innocent lady that popped up. So I'm glad that this game was just very straightforward, like shoot the outlaws. I don't know, I had a lot of fun with it. It's a good break if you are tired of the other modes, which means you've been playing them for 10 minutes.
you get the game pretty early on because, again, you've only got five outlaws and not much changes. But thankfully, the game gets more challenging with the different modes, and then it's forgiving enough that anyone can at least get some progress because you don't have to aim perfectly. I found that out while playing this week. You don't have to aim perfectly, which is nice. If you're in the general area of the screen, then you get the right bandit. And so even in the saloon one, it's kind of, if you look back at the saloon screen, you'll kind of see what they did. They really partitioned off each section so that you've got like a top left, top right, bottom left, bottom right, maybe top middle and bottom middle. And so it's really a grid based system. And if you shoot anywhere in the correct grid, then your lens is going to catch that flash and you'll probably get the bad guy. So it's fairly forgiving in that.
Aged.
So let's shoot the giant elephant in the room.
No, I don't want to shoot an elephant.
Why not? Okay. Wild Gunman is not something that is easy to recreate the experience of. Because to do it authentically, we would have to be playing on hardware with accessory hardware and specifically on a CRT TV. So whereas even if you have an old Nintendo like I do, and even if you happen to own this game and still have your light gun, like I'm sure many people do, you couldn't even plug this game into a modern television and play like you could a lot of the old ones. You'd have to literally pull out an old tube TV to get the setup right. And that has to do with the mechanics of how this thing works and the rendering of the screen and the timing of that flash and it, you know, actually functioning or not. And
did y'all look up how much it costs to get an NES zapper?
I did not.
No.
I bet it's expensive.
I don't think it is, actually.
They're still fairly common. Yeah, there's a lot of them out there.
They made tons, dude. Like I think it was even I believe at least some of the consoles were being sold with them on release. So like they made a lot of these things. So I think you can probably get it fairly inexpensively. Inexpensively? Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah, it is. But, and the hardware is a machine. Like it's not like a bunch of them have broken or don't still work. Like they were built so hardy, and so I don't think it's super hard to find one.
But you kind of answered, that in and of itself answers the question if this game has aged. And we'll talk more specifically about the game itself. But the challenge of even playing this game in the way that it was supposed to be played.
Right. Authentically.
Is one of the more difficult challenges than any other game we faced, including some of the PC titles that are nigh impossible. But So this week, we didn't play with our NES zappers, unfortunately. We played with our mouses, which you can imagine, and I know there will be people that will have a lot to say about that, but we feel you. We wish we were able to play with the zappers, but having all of that stuff set up for all three of us and just a week's time and being able to play it was not possible for us this week. So we did have to resort to a mouse, which changes the gameplay, as you could imagine, tremendously.
Yeah, the point of Wild Gunman is to be in that experience of holding the zapper and aiming. And I can picture it in my head. I've played with one, but it was with Duck Hunt. But I know what that's like. And so I can simulate it in my mind and know what it's like. But for those that have never played that on a CRT with the zapper, with the original cartridge, first, it's going to be difficult. But I think it's also going to affect your opinion of the game, which is unfortunate. So yeah, it by default has aged in that regard. But that's also why, if you look on, especially YouTube, content creators on YouTube that do retro content, their game setups are always impeccable. They've got a wall of retro games, but they've also got a massive CRT on the wall on the back wall with the consoles in the front, because it's required in order to have the full experience.
And we want to get there. And so patreon.com/NGP podcast. Just kidding.
Yeah.
That said, I don't know if you guys felt like this at all, but I felt like the mouse was a little bit cheatish.
Well,
the reaction time's so easy with the
mouse. Yeah, I actually did a couple of things to make this game more fun. I blew the screen up way bigger. I tend on these older games to have them pretty small, because you really need to just see what's going on, and I don't feel like I want huge pixel blown out resolution.
You put your mouse in your pocket.
But yeah,
your mouse in your pocket.
No, but I blew the screen up a lot bigger, so you physically had to move the mouse a lot further. And then I did slow my mouse movement speed down so that I couldn't be quite so first person shooter cheating, twitchy. And then your reaction time has to be really tight too, which to me just is cool that they were that accurate with this old hardware. I know it's it's plugged in, and so it's not that hard to get that latency super low and to time those things, but it's still impressive to me. And I mean, we're playing with a wireless mouse. That's going to add more latency than the actual gun had.
Wireless. And use a wireless mouse.
I know you guys are real gamers and don't. And you probably got
batteries in your drawer.
I love that you went through some of that, Kenny. That makes me proud of you, at least a little bit. But I'm trying to think back when I was a kid, and any kids that played this game, I guarantee you that the idea was you were supposed to start with the gun down by your side or up by your head, not facing your head, but up near your head.
Or until, in a holster? That'd be sick.
Until it says fire, and then you're supposed to aim. But I guarantee you that there was not one kid that did that. They held their gun straight out at the screen so they could fire as soon as possible.
Touching the screen. But I think that'd be a fun way to play, especially if Nintendo made an official NES zapper holster for Wild Gunman. That would be cool, because then you could have the really full fun experience.
They could have had a little sensor in the bottom where you actually have to click with it in your holster before you can pull it out and shoot.
Why don't
and
we work
you'd have
for
to
Nintendo?
Change the timing, but something like that would make it so much more complex.
They should have hired us, honestly.
They should. We're Call really good at stuff.
I think that it's important to point out in the age section the audio cue of fire. Guys, this is old, and I believe that this is the first NES title to take full advantage of the system's fourth audio channel, which allowed for digital sampling.
Look at you.
Look at me in my studies. during this time, by the way, just looking at and experiencing this game, it's today, you might miss how different this is from the other catalog during the same time from the games that were coming out during this time. And so to have even a single word digitally sampled and done remarkably well, I just thought that was something that was intriguing.
Definitely. I agree. I wasn't thinking about that specifically. I was thinking about the music in general, but there weren't a ton of NES games that had it's not voice acting, but what you're saying, where it's an actual word that was added into the game or words. So I agree that that's crazy. I didn't know about the fourth channel thing, but on the subject of sound, there's not a ton. I like the very short menu music that would play randomly if you wait too long.
Like a minute.
Yeah, like a long time for a first play. And then also the funeral music or whatever that song's called. I thought it made me laugh like often. So I
loved
it.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good. I loved the music in this game. The sound was great.
It was good. I definitely wanted a little like, wah, wah, wah,
yes,
wah, that would have been good too.
Like they could have set that like stereotypical mood a little harder. And I wanted
stereo.
Oh, and I also wanted a little more visually. Like it was fine, but it was real static. And I know with the
wanted a tumbleweed back
with the
there.
Flash, yeah, I wanted one tumbleweed, and I wanted cactuses in different places. And
you're
I
want, asking for too much, dude.
Like I know it was simple, and
you're talking
to be.
About. Yeah, you're talking about graphics, and I think that's key here because, again, 85, 86, 87, we're working with really small sprites during this time. I mean, think Zelda and think all of these other games. They are very far away. You've got the sports games are like the tennis and everything like that are just very far away and not the greatest graphics. With this limited gameplay, they're able to, I think, fit in a little bit more graphically. So here, what you're looking at, the characters that you're shooting are not small sprites. They're fully realized characters
that
big. Take up maybe half of the screen. They're mm-hmm. big. And while the background's not like expansive and while it doesn't change, it still looks really, really good for an 84, 85 title.
And it looks like the Wild West with only two cactuses and a mountain. Like, I did not question at all the decisions they made with the graphics, even though it was just the same thing.
I think there's a rock there, too.
Oh, there's like a little rock and then some whatever cactus plants, little buds on the ground. But, like, I think the game is kind of beautiful. Like, I know that's silly, but it looks so good to me, especially for 84. Get out of here.
Yeah.
In 1984? Shut up.
Simplistic can be pretty, for sure.
Yes, and I was loving it.
And though I think the background could have used a little more variety, like that would have been super
colors
welcome.
Or something. Yeah.
I thought the sprites themselves, like Dustin said, were really great. Yeah, they could have put in 7 or 8 gunmen instead of 5 or whatever, but the ones they did looked good. They're just stereotypical Western enemies. And the animations when they die and even when they shoot you were so fun. The hat
the pants
flying up in the air.
Down.
Yeah, the pants falling off. Like they did really funny, clever, again, just like Western-y kinds of things. And for what it was trying to be, they did a nice job.
That's above and beyond. You should have, or other companies would have, just make them fall over, fall backwards.
Same death animation, yeah.
Standard death animation, but they each have something silly and funny. And it's like, that is the charm that shined through for me. And it was just like a really great experience overall because of that.
It's hard to believe that Nintendo would make this game today because not only is the entire game about gunning down human characters, which Nintendo kind of stays away from, but the characterization, you said stereotypical, Kenny, of these cowboys / banditos / whatever they are is laid on pretty thick and they tend to try to stay away from some of those things.
Sure. No, I agree. 84 was a different time and I think if they were going to make a modern version of this, it would be like Splatoon. That's exactly what it is. It's little kids shooting paint at each other.
So this is a Splatoon precursor.
This is the prequel to Splatoon.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up. Or thumbs down. It does require 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. I'll begin by saying that this is really a remarkable game. I wish that it wasn't such a struggle to play today or to play accurately today because it really has all the charm that you want in such an early title. I hesitate to give this new game plus status because I know that the majority of listeners are not going to be able to play this game truly. They're not going to be able to pull out a CRT TV. They're not going to necessarily own the game or the console or the light gun. There's a lot that you have to do here to get it right. But even if you are able to emulate it, it is still fun because the music and the graphics and the charm, and there's still somewhat of a challenge. It's a great, great, great title in my opinion. And still, even though it's difficult to play accurately, I give it my vote for New Game Plus status.
The word that comes to mind is iconic. Like when Dustin said the name of the game last week, I was like, I don't remember. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, right. And it's so iconic that I don't know if y'all know this. So Duck Hunt is a playable character in Smash Brothers now. And one of Duck Hunt's moves summons one of the banditos from this game to shoot. And
are you serious, dude? That is absolutely amazing.
Yes. Duck Hunt throws out the move. The character shows up and stands there and then draw and then shoots. It's so iconic. And playing this game, even with a mouse, was fun to me. Like, I was thinking that I would be like, man, this would get New Game Plus if I had the things that you just said, Dustin. But even though you may not have all those things, it's so iconic and it's incredibly impressive that it came out when it came out. The hardest New Game Plus, for sure.
This is so much fun because this is the first kind of game that we played like this.
Yeah.
And to see where we landed and that we landed in similar situations. And I imagine Kenny even landed in a similar situation. Let's listen.
I mean, I've got to totally disagree with you, Dustin, at least on one thing. Like, I think Nolan's point of this, like, being iconic is pretty
okay. Nolan's better than me. Get to it. Whatever.
No. So you said even without the gun, it's, I don't know, worth playing or something along those lines. And I kind of disagree. I think most of the charm here is in playing it on real hardware. And so I have a really hard time saying people should go out and play this game unless they can actually get all of that stuff, which I encourage people that are enthusiasts to do because it is a really lovingly well-crafted game. With that said, I found that this game's contribution to my knowledge of like the history of video games so fascinating, with the old original Wild Gunman, with original things that they did in development, with the love and care that went into it, and with it being one of the original, like, shipped titles on the NES to be so fascinating, that I think people should look into this game more as a historical artifact than as actually as a game to play. So I'm going to agree with you guys, New Game Plus, but I'm going to say go check it out. Like, playing it's not worth that much, but go dig into it and you're going to be really appreciative of what they made and how and why and when. So you guys got it right, but for all the wrong reasons.
I'm going to agree with y'all, but Dustin's completely wrong on everything, but I agree.
You came to the right conclusion.
The kinniest of answers on that right there.
Yeah, but here's the thing with Kenny. You know that you don't know what you're going to get, but you know it's always going to be Kenny.
Yes.
That's true.
Well said.
Which means Wild Gunman is New Game Plus certified. Apparently for all the wrong reasons. But what did you think? Garlisle wrote in, no surprise. He said, as a kid, the Zapper was a cool mystery gadget. As an adult, I still love the concept of the Zapper and the tricks done to make it work. However, that came with design limitations. Couple that with a development team satisfied with ultra simple and shallow titles, and the Zapper was cursed to being a historical curiosity rather than a key part of any good games. True. Wild Gunman is just a reflex test. That's it. Game A makes it most clear, unfailable if you can just press a button fast enough. Adding some aiming to B and C at least made failure possible, but are still static enough to just have no depth. Having an actual Zapper in hand might add some physical engagement, but it would not change this fundamental flaw.
I gotta stand by what I said about when it came out. I think considering the limitations, considering no one had done anything like that before in a home console, I just think that all of those things become trivial. Like, it's just impressive that you have that in your home and that it works.
I like the zapper didn't stick, and that's not a surprise. It always was a little gimmicky, but it was a really novel gimmick that I think being something that they had out on release and put out with these games probably helped the NES to feel new and cool and help the success of the whole thing. So, yeah, like the zapper itself doesn't age super well, but it's a really cool thing that happened and a fun nostalgic thing as well. And so he's got fair criticisms, but like it's got a place in my heart.
And for me, this is not just nostalgia because maybe that's exactly what nostalgia is, but it isn't just looking back fondly. I remember as a kid having the zapper. It didn't matter if the game was just a reflex test or if it was something super basic. I loved shooting that thing. Yeah. Like, I had so much fun with it, and absolutely it's limited, especially looking back on it now. And the games that came out, they're all relatively simple slash the same. You're shooting at something, right? But like, I thought... It was a lot of fun for when it came out, and it really worked for 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
Potsoi wrote in and said, got the kit out this week, zapper and all, but came up empty on the Wild Gunman game itself. I did then put in Hogan's Alley in the slot, which is pretty much the same game if you do a cowboy criminal swap. I like to talk specifically to the light gun itself. Back in the late 80s, it was revolutionary for a kid. You can point it at the screen and it knows where you're aiming. Radical. Then you throw in 2 targets and it's mayhem. Sadly, though, the idea that you can flash up 1 or 2 targets in quick succession has aged poorly when I can pump coins into Point Blank or Time Crisis, 2 other arcade games, I believe, and be immersed by reflex testing shooting and actually exciting gameplay.
Again, home console having the option to have an arcade experience
changes
it. I just think that's great. And also, again, it just speaks to how creative and daring Nintendo has always been with their interesting and wild choices in controllers, in concepts, like, again, the Wii, early concepts of the Wii.
I do think shooters got really good, really fast, relatively. And I do think they did lend themselves to being even better as an arcade experience overall, especially in that kind of late 80s, early 90s era. You just couldn't get it at like you could on a dedicated piece of arcade hardware. But again, that's not to take away from some of the really cool things that this game represents.
Thank you both for writing in. You can always send in your thoughts and commentary on the Retro Game of the Week to ngppodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to include it as a part of our show. But for now, we're going to put aside this light gun game, Wild Gunman, and we're going to randomly select the next Retro Game of the Week, the game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days. How wild would it be if it was another light gun game?
Let's hope.
Randomizing now. We're going to be playing a third-person 3D action role-playing game.
Sweet.
By Starbreeze Studios.
Easy Starbreeze, okay. Beautiful cover girl.
Yeah, exactly. It came out in the year 2012 for both the PC and Xbox.
That's
not true.
Did I say 2012?
Yeah.
Well, it did actually re-release. That's funny.
Oh, okay.
But it was 2015. No, it came out for the Wii in 2012, but it was PC and Xbox in 2002. Excuse me.
That sounds more like a valid option.
2002 for Xbox and PC. It's set in a medieval fantasy realm where the player can choose the role of either warrior of light or minion of darkness.
This sounds very familiar.
Whoa.
It is a game I've never heard of before, and it is called Enclave.
Ew, Enclave. So we'll play it on PC or
Xbox, I
Xbox?
Think.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Nice. It came out on Xbox first, like just a couple months prior.
Okay, then we'll play it on Xbox. Weird. Never heard of it.
Can you know anything about it?
I do not.
All right. Well, find a copy of Enclave with us and play it either on the PC or Xbox.
Join us in Discord this week. We're going to be talking about Enclave and a lot of other things. You can go to ngppodcast.com and click Join Us in Discord.
We want to say a special thank you to all of our patrons who support us on patreon.com, especially those of you who support us at the producer level. Antonin, Ben, Bill, Dear Baby, Garlisle, Corey, Megzima, Zach, and Zion. And also a big shout out to Shauna for increasing her patronage this week.
Thanks, Shauna.
She specifically did it to try to get us closer to our goal, our next milestone in which we're playing D&D. Guys, we're only about $50 away. We get a couple more producers, a few more coming in at a lower level, and we'll be putting on a wizard hat.
Don't tell me what class I'm going to play.
Oh, Kenny, we know you. Thank you all for supporting us. Thank you for joining us on our social media. Anytime that you retweet or post or comment on our stuff, it helps with visibility tremendously. Visit us at our social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at NGP Podcast, YouTube at New Game Plus Podcast. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Enclave. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.